Folk music legend Judy Collins joins us today live from the stage of World Cafe Live, where she played recently for a gathering of public radio music broadcasters. Judy began her career in Denver, Colorado, and then in the early 60s moved to New York City at the height of that city's folk boom. Her music, originally traditional folk, moved through art song and show tunes, has shown unerring good taste and has brought so many songwriters to mass attention, including Leonard Cohen. Certainly her early recordings of Joni Mitchell's Both Sides Now and even Stephen Sondheim's Send in the Clowns brought those songs and their authors to mass attention. Judy has a new album. It's called Paradise, and she begins this session with her signature version of Both Sides Now.
Of angel hair and ice cream castles in the air, feathered canyons everywhere. I've looked at clouds that way, and now they only block the sun. They rain and snow on everyone. So many things I would have done, but clouds got in my way. Now, up and down and still somehow, it's clouds' illusions I recall. I really don't know clouds at all. Moons and tunes and Ferris wheels, the dizzy dancing way you feel. Fairy tale comes real. I've looked at love that way, and now it's just another show. You leave them laughing when you go, and if you care, don't let them know. Don't give yourself away. I've looked at love from both sides now. Give and take and steal somehow. It's love's illusions I recall. I really don't know love at all. Tears and fears and feeling proud to say I love you right out loud. Dreams and schemes and circus crowds, I've looked at life that way, and now old friends are acting strange. They shake their heads and say I've changed. Well, something's lost, but something's gained in living every day. I've looked at life from both sides now, win and lose and steal somehow. It's life's illusion I recall. I really don't know life. I really don't know life at all.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Judy Collins, our guest today on the World Cafe. Can you still say that, Judy? You really don't know life at all.
No, I don't. No, every day is a new day, David.
Well, now, of course, it's hard to believe, as with Leonard Cohen, that there was a time that not everybody knew the songs of Joni Mitchell. And she had not recorded that. Has she recorded it at all?
No, she hadn't. She came down from Canada. She's married to Chuck Mitchell, and then they separated in the village, and she was around singing. You know, Tom Rush really had the credit for finding her. He found her down in the village, and he kept talking to us always about her. Joni Mitchell this, Joni Mitchell that. Yesterday, a child came out to wander. Then he finally recorded that himself, but I still hadn't met her, didn't know her. She didn't have a record label, and, you know, we were all busy touring, making records, getting our legs together, you know, about how to tour and how to make a living at this thing. And one night I was sound asleep in the 60s, which was surprising. And the phone rang at 3 in the morning, and it was my friend Al Cooper. I adore Al Cooper. He started the Blood, Sweat, and Tears, and great, great, great artist, and a great friend of mine, you know, a buddy of mine. And he called me at 3 in the morning, and I said, "What is it?" And he said, "Well, I followed this girl home because she said she writes songs, and although I haven't heard them yet, I followed her home, and I figured I couldn't lose. She's very beautiful." And so when we got to her house, he told me, she sang me this song. Now, he called me to have Joni sing this song to me. There were a lot of other people in the village, a lot of women singers, a lot of men singers, but he called me. I'm so flattered and thrilled. And then she sang me Both Sides Now on the radio, on the phone, rather. Wow. And then I recorded it within days. And I got her onto a little, I was on the board of directors. How that happened is beyond me. Of course, I was managed by Harold Leventhal, who was my friend and managed Pete Seeger and every singer-songwriter there was. He certainly knew. And he got me on the board of directors at Newport. So I arranged a little singer-songwriter afternoon, which was a kind of against the grain, because this was a time when it was kind of a strict thing about the festival, you know. Anyway, it was a good singer-songwriter afternoon with her and Leonard, whom I had already met and already recorded when I met when I sang Joni's song.
Wow.
I always answer my telephone, I want you to know.
If you call her at 3:30,
you never know.
She'll be there. Well, now we're in front of a convention of folks in radio, and I think it might be interesting to talk about your father, who was in radio, but what did he do?
He did something that nobody does now anymore, but very rarely, I suppose. He sang beautifully, played the piano beautifully. By the way, please welcome my wonderful accompanist and musical director, Mr. Russ Walden. And My dad had he was in old-fashioned radio. He sang his own songs, he played his own songs, he wrote his own commercials. Because he was blind, he wrote them in Braille and typed them for his engineer. He told Mae West stories, he had guests on the show, you know, George Shearing would come on the show, Bob Hope would come on the show, Red Skelton, in three cities, in Seattle and Los Angeles and Denver. Because the same was true then as is now. The entertainer who's on the radio having the show, the guests come through and they're on the show because they have something going on.
Right.
An appearance. So it was radio. 30 years I listened to that show and learned from him how to perform, how to get up when he didn't want to and go to work every day.
Sounds like he also had a wide variety of people on.
He did.
Which something you've sought music from all sources over the years and performed music of all. Where did the sort of musical theater aspect of what you loved come from?
It was part of the combination of my studying, because I studied Mozart and Debussy and Rachmaninoff, and I sang in the choruses of the operas. My teacher was an opera conductor, so I had master classes in Beethoven, and I played Mozart with her orchestra at 13. So by the time I hit the folk songs that were on the radio, by the time I learned the gypsy rover came over the hill, down through the valley so shady, and by the time I learned that, and also the other one I heard on the radio was, "'Twas in the merry month of May, when the green buds were swelling," and I was flat out hooked. I mean, this music, these songs, just totally changed my life. At 14, I was having a career crisis, you know. And no more Mozart for the time being. But then, because that all those cross references of all the different kinds of material, you know, the Gate of Horn in Chicago was a big influence. And there, I was working with Will Holt, Dolly Jonah, Sonny and Terry, Cynthia Gooding, Bob Gibson, and I was hearing Dolly sing, you know, "Surabaya, Johnny, varum bist du saro? Surabaya, Johnny, mein Gott, und ich liebe dich so." So it then occurred to me that there was all this music, all kinds of music. There was blues, and there was folk music, and there was singer-songwriter music. There was Brecht and violin. There was just this wealth of music. So, and it all combined to attract me, so I wasn't limited anymore.
Which segues easily into this new album, Paradise. Your last album was Lennon and McCartney songs, and this one has a wide array of music and songs from you as well on here. How did this begin for you, making this new one?
You know, it started in two ways. First of all, Peter Yarrow, whom I've known for 50 years, came to me and said, he called me one day and he said, well, for once I'm not calling you to do a benefit. You'll be so happy. And I said, well, but you know, for you, Peter, any benefit. But then he said, no, I have had a big hit with this song, this book of mine called Puff the Magic Dragon, and I want you to sing Over the Rainbow on the next book for children. So I said, sure, of course I did. And I had that, of course, and then I had just spent about a year and a half, I think it took us a year and a half, to learn Jimmy Webb's new song, which is the most spectacular song I think I've ever heard. And that's saying a lot. I've heard a lot of songs. It also took me longer to learn it than it took me to learn the Mozart Second Piano Concerto. You know, I just struggled with it, but I had it down, and we'd begun to do it in our concerts. So with those two poles, I then began to add water and think about duets. And talked to my old friend, Joan Baez, because I decided to sing one of her songs. So she said, well, why don't we do it as a duet? So I said, fine. And, of course, also talked to my old friend Stephen Stills, who wrote, you know, Sweet Judy Blue Eyes. I think he's trying to get in a good word before the book is done. Never mind. I'm just kidding.
Well, the Joan Baez, how did you decide to do her song? How did that come up?
I'm in my fourth year of working at the Carlisle for 6 weeks at Eclip. And so this woman that kind of helps us out at the Carlisle was talking to me one day, and she said, I said to her, you want to hear something different? Maybe you want to have a request. And she said, yeah, I'd like to hear a Joan Baez song. And after she got up off the floor, I asked her which one it was. And she said, Diamonds and Rust. Mm-hmm. Well, I'll be damned. Here comes your ghost again. But that's not unusual. Just that the moon is full and you happen to come. And here I sit and on the telephone, hearing a voice I'd known a couple of light years ago, getting straight for a fall. Poetry was lousy, you said. Where are you calling from? A booth in the Midwest. 40 years ago, I brought you some cufflinks. You brought me something. We both know what memories can bring. They bring diamonds and rust. Burst on the scene, already a legend, the unwashed phenomenon, the original vagabond, you strayed into my arms. And there you stayed, temporarily lost at sea. The Madonna was yours for free. Yes, the girl on the half shell would keep you unharmed. Now I see you standing with brown leaves falling all around and snow in your hair. Now you're leaning out the window of that crummy hotel in Washington Square. Our breath comes in white clouds, mingles and falls through the air. Speaking strictly from me, we both could have died then and there. So you're another word for it. You who are so good with words and with keeping things vague. 'Cause I need some of that vagueness now, it's all come back so clearly. Yes, I once loved you dearly, and if you're offering me diamonds and rust, I've already paid. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Judy Collins, our guest today on the World Cafe, and you can hear her sing that with Joan on the new album Paradise. You mentioned Stephen Stills, and he produced Who Knows Where the Time Goes?
No, he played on it. Right. My friend David Anderle produced that album, but that's where Stephen and I met. And then because he was playing on the album, not because, but he was playing on the album, and we started to have this affair, and he wrote Sweet Judy Blue Eyes.
Did he ever come over and try to win you back with that song?
That's what he did. Yes, he did. it was beautiful. I mean, who could... It was so beautiful. You know, the kind of secret thing that happened was that when we were finishing recording Who Knows Where the Time Goes, we were doing another version of it for a movie called The Subject with Roses. And after that session, I had to go back to New York, and he sat in the studio with the lights out and said to my engineer, just turn on the tape. I'm going to record a whole bunch of things here. And he sat in the dark and, thank you, and recorded all these songs, which came out 40 years ago, I mean 40 years later, on an album called Roll Tape. And Sweet Judy Blue Eyes is on there, a whole bunch of songs, a lot of them about me, one called Judy Judy. And and so it was like, I called him up when it came out, and I guess it was 2007 maybe, on Rhino, with Untouched, just Stephen in the dark with the guitar. You know how he played. I mean, he's unbelievable. So it was very magical. I called him up and said, it's like a Valentine 40 years later. But we had remained friends throughout, in spite of the fact that the song didn't win me back.
Well, now, of course, the title track of that album is the Sandy Denny song. Oh. And who introduced that? Or how did you find that?
I don't really know. It somehow floated into the studio. And now, Sandy Denny must have been 20, maybe 21 when she wrote this, which is totally, utterly remarkable. She'd just been auditioned for the Fairport Convention. Across the morning sky, all the birds are leaving. Ah, how can they know it's time for them to go? Before the winter falls, still be dreaming. I do not count the time. Who knows where the time goes? Who knows where the fickle friends are leaving. Ah, but then you know it's time for them to go. But I will still be here. Thank you. Wonderful Russell Walden. Thank you. You know, it was tragic. She was dead 10 years later.
Yeah. Tragic.
No, less than that. I'm sorry. Less than that. It was 70. Oh, no, it was 10 years. She died in 78.
Wow.
Amazing song. Amazing. I got to know her. I got to spend time with her in England. And what a sweetheart. And what a great song.
Wow. Now, you mentioned you've recorded Over the Rainbow for the book, and it's on this album. I was thinking about the fact that Amazing Grace, and in some case, even Send in the Clowns, are songs that, before you recorded them, were everywhere, and yet you did them, and they became the definitive versions of these songs. That's very brave of you, and that's just fantastic.
Well, you can't deny a love affair. That's what happens, you know, with a song when you fall in love with it. When I heard Send in the Clowns, I didn't know who Sondheim was in 1972. I mean, I hadn't gone to anything other than a shrink or a singing lesson or a folk bar for a long time. Anyway, then a friend of mine sent me this CD, the album, those old things with the pictures, you know. And she said, you have to sing this song. And I put the needle on the groove, and I said, my God, it's incredible. And I called Hal Prince, whose name was on the album, and I said, you know, you've got a great song here. And he said, yes, we do. About 200 people have recorded it. And I said, I don't care, I have to do it. So I did it. And love it. I have a little note from him saying, thanks for my first hit song. Very nice.
Now, Over the Rainbow, when you set out to tackle it, what did you think? Did you?
Well, I had sung it once. It was born the same year that I was born. It was born in 1939. So my mother told me that she named me after Judy Garland. And my father said, no, you were named after Judith, the queen in the Bible who cuts off the head of Holofernes to save her tribe. What a contrast. Once on the Dinah Shore show in 1981, I was invited to sing it, and Glenn Osser did a beautiful orchestration. And you can actually see that on YouTube along with all the rest of the 50 years of my life in popular music. But I never sang it. I never recorded it. And I didn't ever sing it. You know, it's a deceptively difficult song. I had met and gotten to know Yip Harburg, who wrote it, of course, and who actually wrote more of the movie than he's ever been given credit for. And there are plenty of rumors about who was it who wrote the tagline. Irving Berlin is rumored to have written either the very end or the very start. I don't know which. Why Can't I? It's Irving Berlin, who gave it to Yip, you know, as a favor, said, you don't have to pay me for this. But I had recorded, they used to tell me I was building a dream, and so I followed the crowd. No simple song either to sing. It's a big song, big range. And Yip and I got friendly, and he said, you know, you should sing my song. This was 74. You should sing Over the Rainbow. And I said, no, I just don't feel right about it. It still seems to me to be Judy Garland's song and also Liza's song, and I just didn't ever feel right about it. However, for a children's book, I mean, that's, you know, that's a different kind of thing. When all the world is a hopeless jumble and the raindrops tumble all around, heaven opens a magic lane. When all the clouds darken up the skyway, there's a rainbow highway to be found. Leading from your window pane to a place behind the sun, just a step beyond the rain. A land that I heard of once in a lullaby. Somewhere over the rainbow, skies are blue, and the dreams that you dare to dream really do come true. You know this, right? Someday I'll wish upon a star and wake up where the clouds are far behind me, where troubles melt like lemon drops away above the chimney tops. That's where you'll find me. Russell Walden.
Same song, another Judy Collins. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you so much.